That we thank you because you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the author of life. You laid your life down and you took it up once again. And that is why we can rejoice before you. That is why we can be happy knowing that we serve a living God, our Lord and our God. That life, your life that is from eternity to eternity, that the sting of death could not take from you, is the life that you have given us. Therefore, we are alive also in you. As we hear your word this morning, may we come alive afresh in the mighty name of Jesus. All that is dead in our lives, that needs to be alive, we speak the resurrection power unto you this morning. We say, come alive in Jesus' name. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We want to talk about the resurrection morning today. And the song by the choir basically encapsulates everything that I was going to talk to you about. They've already told us the story of what happened that very morning. But let us just go a little bit further and just look at, the spiritual significance of some of those things that happened that very morning that Jesus rose once again. Can you open your Bible with me to the book of Mark chapter 16? We are going to read verse 1 to 7. Mark 16 verse 1 to 7. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stones from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him, as he said unto you." Praise the Lord. That is the story of the resurrection morning. The first thing you will notice about this story, it was a story of no expectation at all. It was a story of what? Of no expectation. The people had been gripped by sadness. They had been gripped by sorrow. The one in whom they put their trust had suddenly departed from them. But that was not the whole story. They saw what happened to Jesus before he was buried. Can you imagine how we normally feel anytime something happens to people we refer, people we respect? And I want to tell you that a lot of people have lost their faith because things happen to people they respect, particularly in the faith. Am I right? When somebody they seriously respect falls, a lot of people fall with them. When what they expect does not happen in the life of people they hold so dear and so much with so much respect, a lot of people lose heart. No wonder Jesus spoke to his disciples when he was at the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus went to pray. When he came back, what were they doing? They were sleeping. And he came to them and he said, pray ye, so that you will not fall into temptation. Because he knows what it is like when a leader is struck, that the sheep will normally do what? Will scatter. That was why he was asking them to pray. And of course, like many followers will do, in the name of the Father. And Jesus will come back and you'll meet them. They will be asleep. And then when the hour came, they apprehended Jesus. They took him. They took him away. Let's look at Mark chapter 15, verse 28. Something happened there. He said, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, and he was numbered with the transgressors. In other words, they apprehended Jesus. And there was a change of position. The Bible said, he who knew no sin was made what? He was made sin for us. There was a change of position of Jesus. He was taken and he was numbered among the transgressors. The book of Isaiah 53 verse 12 actually captures this very, very clearly. Because that is where that was what was called into remembrance when Jesus was apprehended and crucified. He was named among people who had broken the law. He was named among people who were not worthy. But he himself knew no sin. The reason that Jesus had to change position that morning, that day, was to replace you among the transgressors. He was to replace me among the transgressors. In other words, he went and took your position so that you might be displaced from that place and move elsewhere. He took my position so that there was no more place for me among the transgressors. And the Bible makes us to understand that that sin has a consequence. The Bible says the wages of sin is what? Is death. And the gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Jesus had to bear the wages of sin, even though he himself had no sin. So God was not joking. It was not a drama. It was not a make-believe at all. He had to, if he was going to take the sin of the world, he had to suffer the punishment and the consequences of the world as well. So he didn't just stand in the gap. He took his position that belonged to you and I. And he had to be afflicted. Because the wages of sin is death. He had to die the natural death. He actually died. You know, when you read the Quran, it is believed that, I read the English translation, it is believed that when they came to arrest him, that he actually, there was a way he passed through the crowd and he left them. And so they couldn't take hold of him. That the person that was crucified was not him. That they were not able to crucify him. But the Quran does testify that he's going to come back again. I read it with my very eyes. That he is going to come back again. But let me tell you the truth. Jesus actually died. He died. He had to die. Otherwise, he would not have satisfied the requirement of the law. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. His blood had to be shed. And he shed the blood. So that there will be complete remission of sin. He first of all changed position. He changed position and he took the punishment. And the apostles saw when he was taking the punishment. And that was why they became so hopeless. So on the resurrection morning, they went there without a hope. You know what? How many times did Jesus tell them? He said, I will give no sign to this generation except the sign of what? The sign of Jonah. He said it in parables. He said it in words. He said, look, and I will pull down this temple and I will raise it in what? In 3 days. And you know something about Jesus? If the disciple didn't understand, they could ask him. And he had a way of taking his disciples to his side and explain to them. He said, because it's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. When others, he will speak in parable. He said, for them, it is not, you know, they are not to know. But for you, you are to know the mystery of the kingdom. How many times did he tell the disciples what was going to happen to him? Yet, what happened? If you actually read the Bible, it said, you see, when they were bringing the story to them that Jesus is risen, they did not actually believe. But he told them what was going to happen so many times. Yet, they did not believe that was going to happen. So they went as hopeless people with spices to anoint what? His dead body. They had given up. Let me tell you something. If Jesus' body was there that day, if he was in death that day, you and I will have no business coming here. The only reason we are here is because he is risen. And when they got there, the tomb was empty. You know what? Death brings a nightfall in the lives of people. What does a nightfall represent? Darkness. Anyone who is not in Christ lives in darkness. There was a nightfall. You remember when Jesus was crucified, what happened? And said there was darkness in the land for about the space of 3 hours. He said from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness everywhere. Where there is death, there is darkness. But the Bible makes me to understand that at the breaking of the morning, when the sun rose, Jesus rose. Praise the Lord. When the sun rose, Jesus rose. And I like it. When you go to Ezekiel, God was talking to the children of Israel. He said, my covenant with you. Except you can break the covenant of the day and the night, will my covenant with you be broken. So if you hold on to the resurrection power of the Lord, except the covenant of day and night is broken, will the covenant of God for your life ever be broken? They went. The first obstacle was this. They looked at it. They took their spices. They said, who is going to roll away the stones for us? Because the stone is so, so heavy. It's there. And I remember there was a time we actually looked at some archaeological findings as to what people thought was the tomb where he was buried, where Jesus was buried. As you remember, it was the tomb of a very, very wealthy man. And what they did was for door was a big stone. Nobody, not a single person could roll it. And they used it to cover that place. So they were, you know, they were thinking there was no way that they would be able to get to Jesus. But when they got there, what did they meet? They met that the stone had been rolled away. They met that the stone had been rolled away. What that signifies is this. It means every barrier to the fulfillment of God's plan and purpose for your life is rolled away in Jesus' name. Because light came, darkness could not hold sway. The power of death was broken. Resurrection has a way of rolling away obstacles. It has a way of rolling away what? Obstacles. Let's look at John chapter 14, verse 6 to 11. John 6 to 11. Let's hear some of the things that Jesus actually told his disciples before he left. You know, some of those things will probably not be meaningful to them until they started seeing the manifestation of the resurrection power of Jesus. I'm going to read from verse 6. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can you imagine what would have happened when they saw Jesus taken and killed? Yet, this is the man who said, I am the way, the truth, and what? And the life. And people will ask, well, you remember? No wonder the soldiers were mocking him. They say, you are the king. You are the king. Save yourself. Deliver yourself. Tell us to, you know, they were all sort of things asking him to do. He said, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, ye know him and have seen him. In other words, what Jesus was actually telling them is this, look, I that am standing, as you see me, you have seen the Father. You have an opportunity to see God. But it did not mean anything to them. They just took it as one of those things he said. If we don't take the word of God as just one of those things, it has inherent power to change situations and circumstances. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. What Philip said showed that they did not have an understanding. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The word that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He didn't really mean much to them. After he said, look, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Philip said, show us the Father. And he said, look, if you are looking at me, I've been with you for so much, in order for so long, do you know we can be in the Lord for so long and we'll be marking time and we may never really see him? That will not be your story in the mighty name of Jesus. Because he says, I am the way. Except your eyes are open, you will not know to follow the way. Except our eyes of understandings are open, we will not follow the way. Yet he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And something happened that morning. Something happened that morning that you can see from the Gospel of John. He tells us how Mary actually went to the tomb. And when she got there, and she saw the angels, she said, where did they place my Lord? I'm looking for him. He was conversing with the angels. She was conversing with the angels and didn't know. And what happened? Jesus came. And something happened. He walked to Mary and said, Mary. All of a sudden, her eyes were open. And she recognized, my Lord and my God. Resurrection morning brings light. It brings understanding. It opens the understanding of people. It makes you see the Lord for who he is. That was the morning that many of them, no wonder he said to Peter, he said, when thou art converted. When thou art converted, because their salvation was not complete until they actually knew the Lord the second time. That was when they started to believe in him. You see, and I've been telling you something. The Yoruba say something. Apology to those of us who may not know what I'm talking about. You know, in the Yoruba tradition, they have different kind of gods. They have the god of iron. Good. That god of iron, there's a saying that if you are so sure of that god of iron, you can swear by it, by hitting your head with it. Abi? Bogo eni ba dani lojun ko a ma fi gbari. Until you see a revelation of who Jesus is, you will never go out with boldness to talk about him. You will never with boldness release your life to him. And the reason we are often in doubt is because we have not seen him. That morning, when Peter saw and knew, he learned to obey instructions. Praise the Lord. That was the same Peter who went out and said, look, judge ye, is it right for me to obey man or to obey God? Judge ye. It's the same man who was with boldness now stood before the people. He said, but I cannot but speak of that which I have seen and heard. Praise the Lord. In other words, when we see the Lord, we begin to live in obedience. We begin to live in boldness. That is what happened that resurrection morning. Resurrection morning will come to your life today in Jesus' name. He said, if they had known him, they would have known that they have seen the Father. Resurrection morning brought the story of their salvation to their lives. Resurrection implies the breaking of barriers, like I said earlier on. Do you know that the greatest barrier to the fulfillment of dreams is what? Is death. Somebody can be sick. I mean, we say it every day, isn't it? What do we say? How do we say it? As long as there is life, there is what? There is hope. We say that. As long as there is life, there is hope. So death is the final thing, is the greatest barrier. And no man has ever been able to break that barrier until Jesus came. He is the only one who went and captured death and bottled death and put it in a cage and came out alive. And he has the experience to show, to tell us that we too can be alive in him. The Yoruba says something. He said, when a man promises you garment, what do? You size him up. If I tell you, I'm going to buy you a shirt, you first of all look at what I'm wearing. If it is tattered, you'll be wondering. If Jesus had not risen himself, if he promises you salvation, that is why the Bible says, there is no salvation in any other name but the name of Jesus. He said, for there's no other name that's given among men by which men should be saved but the name of Jesus. Because he himself had seen salvation. He removes barriers. The barrier of death was removed that very morning. I will show you another place where resurrection removed barrier. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14, I'm sure we know the story very well. Ezekiel 37, verse 1 to 14. Something happened there when God brought resurrection. He spoke to his prophet. He asked his prophet to prophesy to the bones. My emphasis will be on verse 11 because of our time. I will read verse 1. It said, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley. And lo, they were very, very dry. In other words, they were long dead. They were beyond death. They were really, really dead. And God spoke to him. He said, prophesy to the bone. First of all, God asked him, he said, can these bones live? A wise man said, God, thou knowest. He said, God, no, thou knowest. And then God asked him to prophesy to the bone. In verse 7, he said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, that's verse 9, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from four winds, O breath, and breathe upon this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And I want to say to you this morning that these bones are the people who have declared Jesus as the Lord and their Savior. He said, these bones are the house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. That was what the disciples were saying that morning. When they walked there, they were saying, our hope is lost. They had given up. And suddenly, resurrection money changed their history. Brought back the God that they trust. Rekindled their hope. Your hope will be rekindled this morning. He said, say to the house of Israel. Say to the house of Israel. Say to everyone that names the name of the Lord. That the resurrection power of Jesus will bring alive that which is necessary for you to fulfill your destiny in Him. You know what? If that resurrection power can create a life from a life that was lost, how much more can other aspects of our lives, our needs, our aspirations be met by that resurrection power? The resurrection power of Jesus does not leave out your finances. It does not leave out your physical being. It was in this church some years back. I remember there was a couple. That was years back. Who are looking unto the Lord for the fruit of the womb. They have waited for a long time. They were taken to see the doctor, and they were planning to do an IVF for them. So they went away, and they were asked to come back. So the day they were supposed to report for their test, or for the procedure, was when they actually discovered that they were pregnant, that the wife was pregnant. And by the grace of God, today, I know they have three kids, two girls and a boy. That is what the power of Jesus can do. It can resurrect anything and bring the life of God to bear in that situation. There was also a brother who was looking for a job. We had a program in the church. And the word of God came to that brother and said, in the next 2 weeks, you are going to get a job. This brother went for an interview. He got there. Those people interviewed him and they said, look, we don't have a job for you. And he went. And it was within those 2 weeks. And instead, he got a phone call from somewhere else. And they said, they've got this job available. He said, okay, I'm going to submit my CV. They said, don't bother. The people you went to for interview forwarded your CV to us. They said they had no job, but they were impressed with you. And they said, we should give you a job. Praise the Lord. That is the resurrection power of the Lord. What He can do in the lives of people. Recently, I encountered a brother who had struggled with job. And he came, I prayed with him, and God just said to me, God said I should use my hand as if I was washing his face, which I did. And I can tell you that to the glory of God, he's holding down a job. Praise the Lord. That is the resurrection power of the Lord. He turns around the situations of man because he brought life back to Jesus again. So that the life he laid down, he was able to take it. He was able to take it again. He causes the beaten to rise, the defeated to mount up with wings as he goes. Look at Isaiah 25 verse 4. He causes the beating. The one that the world has given up on. Because the world had given up on Jesus. They beaten him. They've crucified him. And they've laid his case to rest. He had been concerned to history. As far as his detractors were concerned, that was the end of him. The high priest and the scribes, all that planned his death and his crucifixion, thought they had victory. But when resurrection power came, he rose again. He rose again. And that is why when they could not believe, they thought it was Elijah who had come. They thought some other prophet, they thought John the Baptist had come again. The one who has been beaten and seemingly defeated regained their victory. Isaiah 25 verse 4, he says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. The Lord is a refuge. And he will be your refuge in the mighty name of Jesus." When one reaches a dead end, and I can tell you, death is a dead end. Death is what? Is a dead end. Where do you go from there? There's nowhere else you go. But when the resurrection power of the Lord came, it marked a new beginning. And there will be a new beginning in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And the Bible said there was a change of position of Jesus again. And that is why Jesus is seated in heavenly places. And you and I are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. His position changed from sitting with the transgressors to sitting with the God, Lord Almighty. He regained that which he had lost. You will regain everything you have lost in Jesus' name. It's because the Bible said, "For God has given him a name above all names." The name did not come free of charge. It came as a result of a price he paid. So that he went, like you are going to go this morning, from obscurity to limelight in the mighty name of Jesus. The one who's been consigned to history suddenly became the one to be what? To be celebrated and worshipped. Can you imagine how many disciples did Jesus have? There were 12 of them. At most, how many of them were waiting on the day of Pentecost? 120 people were waiting. How many people will say Jesus is Lord all over the world now? We are talking about billions. So that when you reach a dead end, the resurrection power of Jesus will say you have just begun. The other thing about the resurrection power of the Lord is this. If we go back to Mark chapter 16 that we read as I close, in verse 7 of it, Mark 16 verse 7, it says something about the resurrection power. He said, "But you go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee." Resurrection power goes before you. It's a groundbreaker. all the hard ground of your life, he will break for you in the mighty name of Jesus. He's the one that makes impossibility possible. Ours is to follow in obedience. Because when he said, he goes to Galilee before you, follow him. If they had taken a detour and they went to Jerusalem, would they have found him? No. When you go where he goes, where you go, where the resurrection power of the Lord goes, you will meet with him. I say you will meet with him. Lastly, let's look at Isaiah 28:16. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. That is the word of the Lord. For you this morning. He said, therefore, thus said the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone. What is the next word? A what? My version here says something here. It didn't say a precious stone. Who has King James version? A tried stone. A what? A tried stone. If somebody had been to the grave and back, has it not been tried? He's a tried stone. In other words, he knows the way. He knows how you feel. He knows when you are in difficulties. He can appreciate your griefs. He can appreciate your sufferings. He can appreciate your pains. He's a tried stone. He has been there. The other way to look at it is he's a tried stone. In other words, he's been used. He's been tried. And people know he's efficacious. They know he works. If you have been in the Lord, if you have known him, he works. He's the answer. He's the solution. He's a tried stone, the Bible says. A tried stone. A precious cornerstone. A sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. The Hebrew word there actually says, he that believeth shall not be put to shame. And you will not be put to shame in the mighty name of Jesus. He's a tried stone. He's a sure stone. He's a dependable stone. He's a reliable stone. He's a faithful stone. It's not the kind of foundation that you can stand on and you think or you are afraid that the waves of life will suddenly remove it from your feet. Is the stone that is laid down in Zion. That is Jesus Christ. Can you just rise with me this morning? Can you just rise with him this morning? And just give thanks to the Lord. Because we serve a dependable God. He is God. He has been God before. He is God now. He will forever be God. Thank God. If our hope were to be in this world alone, we are most miserable. If the hope we have is the hope that the world have, we are most miserable. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Can you just thank God for dying for you, for dying for me this morning, for dying for your life and rising again and giving you a hope that is above all hope, that a hope that is greater than the hope that the world can give. Just give glory to him. Just wave to the Lord this morning. He's a sure foundation. He's a sure foundation. He is a sure foundation. He shines the light of his glory upon any life that comes to him. He is a sure foundation. He is the Lord of all. He is the King of glory. All power belongs to him. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for redeeming us from the power of sin. Because sin signifies darkness. You have taken us from darkness. You have brought us to light. Now we can see that you are God. We can see that you are God. You can do what no man can do. You can do what no man can do. Thank you, Jesus. You are the one doing what no man can do. How excellent is your name. I say you are the one doing what no man can do. How excellent is your name, O Lord. O Lord our God. How excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name, O Lord. O Lord our God. How excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name, O Lord. Oh, just worship the Lord. Just worship him. Just worship him. worship him. In all the earth, how excellent is your. You are the one doing what no man can do. How excellent is your name. You are the one doing what no man can do. How excellent is your name, oh Lord our God. How excellent is your name in all the earth. How excellent is your name. Thank you, Jesus. Because you are the one doing what no man can do. Your name is excellent. Your name is wonderful in our lives. When a man has put a full stop in our lives, you put a comma there and you say you have just begun with us. You have just started with us. It's a new beginning in every life here this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Every dead end, I say you are a new beginning. I say every dead end in your life is a new beginning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because death could not stop Jesus, nothing will stop your destiny. I say because death could not stop Jesus, nothing will ever stop your destiny. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. We worship you. We give you praise because you are God. Blessed be your name, O Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we